thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Andrew's in the studio with us now. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Ben. Doing well.
All right. What are we talking about today?
Well, today, Ben, I wanted to go into a little bit of tax procedure and regarding when you receive that tax notice. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you do, you receive the tax notice from the IRS, and you may freak out a little bit because here you are. You're getting questioned regarding something on your return.
And in this transitional year, I think a lot of people are nervous about that.
I can understand it, yeah. And, you know, one of the big things that we talk about with our listeners is that CP2000, that computer-generated audit. I mean, audit rates are really, really low, Ben, regarding, you know, in-office audits or... Mm-hmm. or.
I think CP2000 was a character in Star Wars.
So this computer-generated audits where they pick up a discrepancy, you know, this can be something as simple as leaving off one of the tax forms that the IRS has on record for you. Maybe you didn't know about it. Maybe you, maybe
1099
W-2. Maybe they flipped a digit on it. We mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. Maybe you even reported something on the wrong line, and now the computer just can't quite reconcile that information. So there's a lot of different ways where these issues can arise, and sometimes there's very simple responses. But Ben, the first thing that our listeners need to know is that there's deadlines associated with each one of these notices that you receive. So, you know, if you receive the CP2000, it says, hey, we found a discrepancy in your return. That's basically what it means.
Right.
You know, we need some explanation. And if you realize, oh my gosh, I just totally forgot to put that particular item on my return, you can even check a box on there that says that you agree with the assessment and pay the necessary amount of tax owed, and, and it's over at that point in time.
Is there a penalty there too?
Potentially, depending on when they've sent this. You know, typically they send them fairly quickly.
Right. Because it's just a match up with them.
Exactly. Just, so those come out relatively soon after you submit your return. We mentioned that kind of in the summertime after that April deadline. But the more interesting question is what happens if you don't agree? You know, and this is where it becomes very, very critical in how you respond. You know, one of the things is that, you know, I view this as a marathon, not a sprint. But you always want to put your best foot forward immediately on that initial response. And a lot of taxpayers just get twisted up, Ben, and think that they can, you know, either number one, just call the IRS and I'll just work this out with them over the phone. And I'm not saying that's not impossible to do, but, you know, odds are it's going to take more than that. The other thing is that they believe they can just write their version of what happened, and that's going to be good enough for the service to say, okay, you know, we agree with you. We'll go with what you say. It's most of the time where you need to see what they're assessing, and then come up with what documentation, you know, what other information can you provide to the service as to why you don't owe the tax that they're saying they think you may owe.
Right.
That is the critical response. And obviously you get 30 days. If you can't get the information within 30 days, what do? Ask for an extension of time.
Right.
They're generally pretty good. I'll tell you this much. When you send them a response, you're immediately going to get back telling you that they need more time to review. So you take the advantage of it and ask for more time so you can gather the appropriate information or make the consultation with
and generally
Harvell
that's a
Collins.
No harm, no foul kind of thing. Like
exactly.
A request.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, that first, if you ask for 30 additional days on that CP2000 letter, there's not going to be any problems receiving that.
Okay.
Any correspondence that you send to the IRS, you would want to, you know, send certified mail and you want to keep copies.
Right.
That's the other problem I see that taxpayers run into, which is they may send a response and they're coming into my office later on in the process. And I'm saying, well, what did you initially send to them? And, you know, well, I don't know. I mailed it to them. And then we got a problem because we don't have evidence of what was actually sent.
So the old certified mail is still right now. It's not electronically. You should do it certified mail.
No, and that's your problem. You know, you just don't have, you know, IRS doesn't email unless you get to, you know, a revenue officer type level.
Right.
And they tell you generally it's you can email it to them, and it actually converts to a fax is basically what happens for protection purposes.
Right.
But just know that. If you do happen to call, Ben, and let's say you get, you know, you stay on hold for however long you got to, a couple, maybe an hour or two.
Make sure. Will it be that long?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Make sure that you follow up anything that that person says, because I've seen it before where you call one person, they say one thing. You call another person, they say another thing. Whatever your conversation was, memorialize it with a follow-up letter and say, I spoke to this person on this particular day. They give you your their name. They give you your ID number. Take all that stuff down and say exactly what happened during that conversation with a follow-up letter if you do end up calling, because that's going to be important evidence as to what you did. And then you just have to watch out, because let's say that you send all this information in. The IRS does not agree with you. There's a couple different avenues they could go. One is they could send you what's called a notice of proposed deficiency. So they basically have looked at all of your information that you've provided, and they say, we've done our examination, and we believe that this is what you owe. That notice of proposed deficiency gives you another 30 days to file what's called a tax protest, which is you file your tax protest, you explain why you continue to disagree with with their response. And then you have the opportunity for a reexamination, or in the event that the reexamination doesn't go your way, you can actually go to the IRS appeals office where it's kind of like a mediation, where you have, yes, the IRS appeals officer works for the IRS, but they sit there trying to resolve cases. I mean, their goal is not to, you know, oh my gosh, I'm, you know, basically just parroting what the IRS agent is saying. No, their goal is, can we work this out? Can we figure it out?
Have representation?
That's exactly right.
Okay,
yes.
So
representation. Right. So a lot of times what I get then is people who have done the first level of correspondence with the IRS and they go, I thought I could just get this worked out. I mean, you know, I can't believe that they're not agreeing with me. And then, you know, I've got to pick it up and say, okay, where are we? What correspondence have you gotten? You know, are we in the, you know, do we have the notice of proposed deficiency level? You know, or is that where we are? Are we in a potential where we could file a tax protest? You know, deciding what our next course recourse is going to be.
Right.
That's one avenue you can go. The other avenue that the service can go is much more difficult and puts a big burden on the taxpayer. Instead of filing a notice of proposed deficiency, they could file a statutory notice of deficiency, which is a different document. This is a document that says you have 90 days to send certified mail. You have 90 days to petition the tax court.
So this is a level up.
So if you get that letter, you literally have 90 days. And this is not one of those where I can send in, let me have an extension of time on.
Right.
This is not one where I can send in a tax protest or an explanation about why you think you're right at this point in time.
You have one course. You've already gone through that part.
One course and one course only. You file a petition with the United States Tax Court. Now, where can that lead you? Okay. So let's say we went CP 2000. You get this statutory notice deficiency. You get it certified mail. You know it's important. You come and see me. What am I going to tell you? Step one is we're going to file the petition for the tax court. That's our only recourse that we have. But let's put together our information and documentation.
Where does the tax court actually convene?
They have one in Greensboro. So that's likely where the where
just not so they don't use like a federal courthouse in New Bern or something.
No. So Greensboro would be the likely place where the matter will be heard. So once you file that petition for tax court, you can actually backdoor your way back to the IRS appeals office. And that's where I think is important for taxpayers to hear this, is that let's say they don't go the 30-day route. They go the 90-day route, which is the critical route. That doesn't mean you're going to end up in court. It means that we have to file that to preserve your rights. Then we can continue to try to work this matter out with the IRS.
And here's so it's a placeholder.
Exactly. A placeholder. Let's see if we can continue to work it out. You know, maybe we're talking about mileage or entertainment or meals. And that's one of those things maybe where we're going to let's make a deal. You know, maybe we don't get all of our mileage. Maybe we don't get all of our money for meals or entertainment if we can't back it up with substantiation, but maybe we can get a portion of it. You know, those are key areas where you can at least get, you know, bites of the apple. But the critical error I see, Ben, unfortunately, and I had one this week.
Uh-huh.
They come after the date of the notice of deficiency has expired.
Mm.
And guess what? You no longer have a ticket to tax court. That has expired. You now must, one option and one option only, pay the refund, pay the amount of tax owed,
mm-hmm.
request a refund, and if it's denied, you have to go to federal district court in order to fight this battle.
Okay.
And it's a very expensive, arduous battle. It's not a simple tax court procedure where, you know, again, we can probably work this matter out with the appeals agent. You're in federal district court at this point mm-hmm. in time. So it's just not an ideal situation to be, and it's just my take home from this particular episode is, you know, deadlines truly do matter when you receive those notices from the IRS. And it's so easy to get that notice, Ben, and kind of bury your head in the sand.
Yeah.
Or maybe you even take action that you think is appropriate, but it turns out that you weren't answering the particular notice the way that it needed to be
answered. Well, we've had a number of those cases
exactly.
that you brought to us before. So again, if you get the 90 day, you filed with the tax court, you go through your appeals process, but your appeals are not going anywhere. You end up in the tax court.
Yes.
But if you then let the deadline go by for filing with the tax court and your appeals go nowhere, you end up in federal court.
You end up having to pay the tax first.
Pay it first and then try to get
it back. Ask for a refund. They're going to deny it, and then you're going to have to end up in federal court. So, I mean, that's the procedure that you end up with, and you're stuck with if you do not respond to that statutory notice deficiency.
Don't want to do that. Don't want to go there. All right. Hey, if you want to avoid going there, you want to call on the folks at Harvell & Collins Attorneys in Law and speak with Andrew Foster. You can email him, afoster@harvellandcollins.com. You don't have to send that certified mail. And you can call for an appointment at 726-9050.